you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Tonight I'd like to just start the homily by taking a quick little poll. I'd like to ask everyone a question. And if you know the answer to the question, just put up your hand quickly. The question is simply, do you know the date of your baptism? 1, 2, 3, 4. Wow, 5, 6, 7. Oh, that's pretty good. 7, 8, 9. Yeah, 10 out of maybe 125. Yeah, that's. I'm actually surprised that so many of you would know that. I don't know mine, but in our culture, we don't really. Most of us don't know the date of our baptism, and I don't know anybody who really celebrates the anniversary of their baptism. We celebrate the anniversaries of our birthday, wedding anniversaries, ordination anniversaries to the priesthood. Young couples in love may celebrate the day they started officially to date. You know, isn't it nice? We've been dating 5 months, and they keep track of that. But normally, we don't celebrate the anniversary date of our baptism. But this was not always the case. Saints greatly valued the date of their baptism. St. Vincent Ferrer, he always celebrated the date of his baptism. And whenever he went by his church, his home church in St. Stephen, Valencia, apparently he would pause to go into the church and kiss the baptismal font in which he was baptized. St. Francis Solano, after being away from his hometown for many years, returned one day to his hometown, and the first thing he did when he got back was to go into the church in which he had been baptized. He rested his head on the baptismal font, and then he sang the creed. And when St. Jose Maria Escriva found out that his home church was being renovated and they were going to get rid of the baptismal font and get a new one, he arranged to have that baptismal font brought to his own chapel. And every time he passed by, he would kiss it. Now, why would the saints have such a great reverence for the things that reminded them of their baptism? Well, I think the reason is because the day of our baptism really is the most important day of our lives so far. It's more important than any other day we've ever had. Even our ordination of the priesthood, even weddings, birth of children. It's the single most important day of our lives. Because before baptism, all of us were under the penalty of original sin. And if we were old enough and had reached the age of reason, personal sin as well. And because of that, the gates of heaven were closed to us. And if we had goggles, spiritual goggles, that would allow us to see things spiritually, and we could look into our own soul, we would see that before baptism, it would be empty and it would be dark. God's presence was not yet dwelling within our souls. We were therefore not yet children of God, not yet part of God's family. And we were also incapable of doing any good work worthy of the kingdom of heaven. That's all before baptism. But as soon as we're baptized, after baptism, the penalty of original sin was lifted and all personal sin washed away. God then came to dwell within our souls, and we became temples of the Holy Spirit. And if we could put on spiritual goggles and see our souls spiritually after baptism, it would be incredibly bright, full of light, and with the beauty of the Holy Spirit. At that moment, we were also adopted into God's family, and for the first time, we became children of God. The gates of heaven were opened to us, and now we were able to produce a good fruit worthy of eternal life. So baptism really is a true birthday for us. It's a real birth, and it's even more important than our physical birth, because when we were born physically, we were born physically into this world, which is temporary. When we're born through baptism spiritually, that can be an eternal birth. And so before baptism, we're spiritually dead. After baptism, some form of baptism, that brings us spiritually to life. In his letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul wrote about it. He said to them, "You at one time were spiritually dead, but God has brought you to life with Christ." And today, in the second letter to Titus, St. Paul wrote and said, "When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us." How? Through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And so, yes, if we know our date of our baptism, it's a really appropriate day to celebrate, because it really is the single most important day of our lives so far in our lives. There is, however, a new phenomena that, as priests, we've been noticing more and more is arising in our society. As you know, it's no surprise, more and more people are not practicing their faith. They themselves may be baptized, they may come to Mass on special occasions, and they usually have their children baptized. But these children, if they're growing up in a household where faith makes no visible difference between them and the people from the rest of the world, then when those children grow up and marry, they often fail to baptize their own children. And so we see grandparents usually practicing their faith very well. The children are often hit and miss, and then their children often are not even baptized. And then often what they will tell us is they say, "Well, we have nothing against baptism, but we're just going to wait until the children are old enough and they can choose themselves whether or not they want to be baptized. You know, we're not going to make that choice for them because they're too young to choose for themselves." Well, that really expresses a lack of faith on the part of the parents. And a total misunderstanding or lack of understanding what baptism is all about. And they're actually causing, without knowing it, great spiritual harm to their children by depriving them of what would be the greatest gift in their lives. And, you know, when you think of it, we don't treat children this way in any other area of their life. We don't say, "Oh, our kids are too young to ask to be fed, so we don't feed them," or "they're too young to ask for clothes, so we won't put clothes on them. We'll wait until they're old enough to choose for themselves." We don't say, "Oh, they're too young to ask to be taken to a doctor when they're sick, or they're too young to ask to go to school." No, these things parents provide for their children, even though they're too young to ask for it themselves, because we know that those are good things and what their children need in the physical area of their lives. And the same thing applies in baptizing babies. By depriving them of baptism, they're depriving the children of a great spiritual good, one of the greatest gifts in their lives. And so we really should, if we know anybody who has that kind of an attitude, try to explain to them, no, you don't treat your children that way in any other area of life. Why do you treat them that way spiritually? It's to their advantage that they be baptized at a young age. And so far, as you notice, we've been talking about baptism as a new birth, a new beginning. And it is. Through baptism, we begin to share in the life of God. And theologians call that grace. But any new life, if it is to survive, must be given ongoing support, nourishment, or it will simply die if it's left on its own. And so early Christians compared baptism to grafting. They would see farmers take a twig and graft it from one tree onto another tree. And then the twig would draw life from the new tree, mature, grow, and bear fruit. And so they said that's similar. They compared that to baptism. Through baptism, we've been grafted onto Christ. We've been given and grafted into a share in God's own life. But that's only the beginning. Just like a twig, once it's grafted onto a tree, the twig needs continual support and nourishment, otherwise it will die. In the same way, once we've been grafted into the life of God, grafted into a life of Christ through baptism, we too need ongoing nourishment and support. Otherwise, that new life born in us in baptism will die. And so that new life that's born in us through baptism needs throughout life to be supported, nourished, formed, and guided. And this is done through prayer, the teachings of the church, and all the other sacraments, especially Eucharist and confession. And so parents, therefore, have a grave responsibility before God, not only to baptize their children, but then to teach them the faith, teach them how to pray, how to live as faithful children of God, to pray with them, to teach them how to live holy lives, and to instill in them a desire to want to reach heaven one day. Also, parents can help their children discover the gifts that God has blessed them with, and then encourage and support their children to develop those gifts, because through that they find their vocation in life, and to really help them find and fulfill God's will for them. And all of this starts with baptism. Baptism is just the beginning of a lifelong process. And so today, let us thank God and thank our parents for the gift of baptism we were given. It is the single most important day of our lives so far. And let us also today ask God to strengthen parents and enlighten them that they may understand what a precious gift baptism is, and then to do all they can, not only to have their children baptized, but teach them, show them, and help them how to live out their baptismal grace so that they can one day reach full maturity and complete the plan and the will that God has for them, and someday reach the kingdom of heaven.